My six-year-old told my wife just a few days ago that his favorite month of the year is July. Well, he's born in July, so she thought that was going to be the response because it was his birthday. But he said that the reason that July is his favorite month is because of the peaks. And anyways, you know, starting there by introduction, I really appreciate the men here, the women. I guess really I want to lift up Matt Wilson and the kids camp. All the men here that participate in that, I mean, the things to get our kids, get that next generation going is huge. And so I know those guys are kind of behind the scenes guys, but boy, they're doing a great thing. I mean, my kids are so excited to see their friends. I mean, they need to have Christian friends. You know, living in Butte, we don't have that. And so, you know, when you're a part of Bozeman, you know, Billings, where things are booming, Great Falls, you have that. And so, anyways, we just really appreciate it. Brethren, we live as, when I was in high school, I had to read a book called The Tale of Two Cities. And we live in the best of times and the worst of times. I think we still have freedom, so I mean that's great, but I think that we're going to see our freedoms go away. And so, is that bad or is that good? See, I think that then people will start looking for God more. And so I think it's going to be a good time for the church, and we need to be ready for that. Another quote I had is, and I can't remember who had this quote, but basically, change is good. But to be perfect, a person must change often. Must change often. In the scriptures, the first thing that Jesus spoke out of his mouth was a word, repent. The first word that John the Baptist spoke to set the plain for Jesus, to make the path straight, was repent. And so, repent means to change. And so we've got to be ready to do that. My scripture is in 1 Peter chapter 3. It's one that I have some experience with, and I know many of you here do. I did want to say I was able to go to Billings last week and assemble with the saints, and I was so encouraged you can just see the teamwork, you can see the camaraderie, and really a focus on seeking and saving the lost. Not just that they say it, but that they're doing it. And I appreciate that. Just want to commend you guys. Keep up the good work. 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 20. It says, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah, during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through the water. And corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven, after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him. Now, this is, in my mind, this is a key verse of Scripture. Just kind of want to give you a little picture. This past weekend, and I must say it was kind of on a whim. How many of you have seen that there's a show, it's a reality show on TV called Storage Wars? Anybody see that? I think Brad Smith's probably been involved in that. Well, anyways, what they do is they go to a storage unit and they auction this thing off. Well, it just happened that the manager of the units that I actually rent a unit, he came and told me that he was having an auction on Friday. This was last Monday. So I just kind of logged that in the back of my head. Well, anyways, Friday came and I thought, oh, that auction's today. So I got done with work on time to be there, and so I showed up. And I ended up buying 5 units. Now, in the reality show, you watch these guys, and they're looking for that one thing. So you get to stand at the door. You don't get to go in and touch a thing. You stand at the door. See, all these shed guys, that's what they do now because of the reality show, because they get more money than they ever got before. If you could go check it out, you wouldn't pay a dime for those things. Anyways, it was me and my son Levi. I would have him go to the door and see what he could see in there, and I would see what I could see in there, and then we'd kind of have a little conversation if there was anything worthwhile. And so, anyways, I ended up buying 5 of them. And I spent my whole weekend digging through junk. We actually made out real well. Praise God. But the picture there, brethren, is that you have to go through a lot of people's other junk to really get the treasure. You got to go through a lot of people's junk to really get the treasure. See, and not everything in those things were treasure. I hauled 5 pickup loads, I guess one for every unit I bought, to the dump. Okay, but there was some treasures in there. See, and that's a picture of the world that we're dealing with and working with today. We are looking for the treasure. And it's an eternal treasure. It's a spiritual treasure. Let's go back there to 1 Peter. Should have brought a couple of paperweights up here. It says, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through the water. It says, in corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a clean conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. What was the purpose of the flood? Exactly. To take the sin off of the earth. To do away with evil. What was the process God used to take away that sin or evil? It was water. And it was water to the point that it covered the top of the mountains 15 cubits. See, the earth was immersed. Corresponding to that, baptism, immersion. Thank you. What a guy. Corresponding to that, immersion now saves you. It's not a bath of water to take the dirt off. It's something way greater. Now, I have to admit, and I think if most of us are honest, the reason that we climbed into that tub of water was selfish. It was to take away our sin. See, it's a starting point. One thing I've seen people be immersed. And when a person becomes a Christian, the scripture refers to him as a babe, a baby. Now, I've brought in little babies home, and I've laid them in the crib. And you know something? I didn't leave them there. See, babies need to be nurtured. They need attention. They need to be snuggled and cuddled and fed and cleaned up. See, that's some of that mess. But see, that's the picture that oftentimes is missed. Maybe not by this group, but I know individuals who have immersed people, and they just expect them to be just fine right after that. No more information is given, not directly, maybe indirectly. See, if you were to bring your baby home and lay it in the crib like that, how long would it survive? No survival. See, we want a resurrected army. An army that lives to fight. A warrior has to be trained for battle. You know, my son, my 14-year-old son, the reason that we were here on time was because he spent the whole day packing and working. You know, and that started when he was this old, training him so he can do that stuff. But he got us here. I'm so proud of him. A warrior has to be trained. When I was in Great Falls, they had on the wall, I was immersed by a man named Bob Johnston. Paul is his brother. And they had on the wall there, evangelism is not complete until the evangelized have become evangelists. See, there's a picture there that you're not done. That some major training is going to have to happen. It's like Paul calling Timothy his son. See, Paul took him under his wing and trained him. And that's the picture, gentlemen, that we have to really raise up a spiritual army that's going to move forward. You know, when I think of Ezekiel 37, you know, can these bones live? See, when you get somebody in your sights, you know, a lot of you guys are hunters, you know, that's not the sights, but it's kind of a picture like that. We've got to see the picture all the way through. In the Professional Football League, every play that they design on offense is designed to get a touchdown. Every individual has got to get his block. And sometimes, you know, you can watch Sports Center or what have you, and they'll actually show that. They'll show how when that guy broke free, the reason why you can see every, you know, I mean, it's on the chalkboard, it's X's and O's. But out on the playing field, it's individual against individual. And they've got to get their blocks. And guess what? There's always one guy free because the quarterback doesn't usually do much blocking. Anyways, there's a picture there that we've got to have when we start engaging with somebody. See, that picture is that we're going to take them all the way through. Getting them in the water is the start. But we've got to take them all the way to glory. Be with them. See, and that... To maintain that, I guess something that I was so encouraged. I'm so encouraged by what's going on in Billings because I see that. You know, I appreciate you, man. I just appreciate it so much because I've been in congregations where that's not there. You can bring them in and you can be evangelistic, but if others aren't evangelistic, see, people take the easy road even in the church. And to bring others to Christ is tough. See, part of our going through 1 Peter is that there's suffering involved, huh? Suffering with joy. See, those of you who have had that child in your hands, man, that is tremendously joyful. I mean, all of us have got to have a baby fix once in a while, don't we? See, we need to have a spiritual baby fix. Go out and make our own disciples and take care of one. And then help them to make their own disciple. That's what Jesus set forth. This is the starting point. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not a bath of water. appeal to God. How many of you were in the up at Peaks when we had it up on the mountain? I realize this is a mountain, but there was a spot where you could jump off the rock. It was like 20 feet high. How many got to participate in that? Some of you guys remember that. Well, anyways, there was snow. I mean, like a snowbank right there. And that water was ice cold. And so when you came out of that water, you pretty much had to scream to get your breath. This word here, appeal, it's to make a joyful shout. To make a joyful shout to the Lord. Where do we make our joyful shout? In our immersion. That's where we scream out. That's our appeal to God for a clean conscience. To have our sins washed away. To walk in newness of life. That's the picture that we have here. See, what do they do with a newborn baby? Pat, pat, pat. Get that breath of life. Get that screaming going. See, there's a lot of physical pictures that really fit with the spiritual. And so God wants us to, as newborn babies, shout. See, we all, I mean, those of you who are Christians, that was in your immersion. See, I didn't understand that when I was immersed. I didn't really realize that I was making my scream to God. In a way, I did. But that's what, you know, when you define this, that's what God is saying here. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience. I can't see a clean conscience, can you? I can't see if you have the Holy Spirit. It's based on faith. It's based on our belief that what God says, that's the way it is. And that settles it. See, so we need to be those who take God at His word. You know, I've showed many people in Bible studies this scripture, and they don't even know what this scripture is doing in their Bible. I had a study with a Baptist preacher. In fact, actually, he runs the storage units that I rent. He's the one that came over to me, but I really tried. I had a couple studies with him, and I tried to continue, and he just kept asking me, why isn't Jesus enough? He doesn't have Jesus. You know, I love the man. I want him to live for eternity. You know, and he's got a congregation of 45, 50 people. He told me I'm not welcome there. But gentlemen, we've got to make a stand. You know, he who's faithful in little is faithful in much. You know, if yesterday you weren't faithful in little, today is the time. The resurrection of Jesus. Without a foundation, nothing stands. Jesus is our foundation. He's what we build on. It's the picture that we have of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection that we can, by faith, believe that we can be put to death in that watery grave. Corresponding to this, baptism now saves you. That we can be raised from the dead. Raised to stand. Resurrection is to raise up, to stand. That's what it is. To raise up, to rise up, to stand. For eternity. Where is Jesus seated? At the right hand of the Father. Who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven, after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to Him. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. For some of you, this is not new. For some of you, this is not new, but it's not where you're at yet. Verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, one thing I know is you can only teach what you know. You can only teach what you know. The old man sometimes slips back. One thing, when I was a kid, if we were going camping or if we were going on a trip, my dad made it miserable. I don't know why. Yesterday when I got home from work, Levi, my son, had done so much work, and I found myself making everybody miserable. See, we've got to put ourselves, this is the starting point of putting that old guy to death, or putting that guy to death. But we've got to do it on a daily basis. We've got to do it continually. See, to be perfect is to change often. To change often. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Actually, not Genesis 1. Better look at my notes. It is Genesis 1. Genesis 1, we're going to look at one verse there. Genesis 1 and verse 28. Must not be Genesis 1. Oh, I'm in Exodus. There we go. It says, "And God blessed them." This is Adam and Eve. "God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." And He says, "And rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Now, we're there. But see, there's a spiritual picture here too. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. To subdue is basically to bring into subjection. See, we want to bring this world, one individual at a time, in subjection to Jesus Christ. And the way to do that is to be fruitful and multiply. See, you are maybe a babe in Christ, maybe a teenager in Christ, maybe, I don't know. But you were put on this earth, sent back from heaven, to subdue this earth for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are His children. You are enrolled in heaven. You are ambassadors of the good news of the glory of Jesus Christ. And so He wants His children to be fruitful and multiply and subdue. See, we can do that. We have the power to do it. This word, God says, will not return without accomplishing the work for which it's sent. If we don't see ourselves as going out and subjecting people to the Word of God, sending the Word out, nothing's going to change. You know, one thing I know too is God has a tendency to put people into your lives that just rub you the wrong way. And it's for a purpose. It's for a purpose. It's for your good. You know, my children, I have children from different backgrounds. I actually have 3 adopted children. I can sometimes look at my biological children and I can understand why they act that way. Okay, because I've been there. Okay, but I look at some of my other kids and it's like, wow, I never acted that way. But see, it's for my good. You know, I mean, again, you know, I've mentioned Levi a lot. We actually had a meeting with the Ralph Seamas last weekend. That's why we're in Billings. Levi was actually born of Terry Ralph Seamas, Levi's grandfather. Anyways, the family doesn't even know where Levi's mom's at. See, what kind of hope would Levi have if God hadn't to set all those things up? See, God sets things up. See, and maybe it was for my good, for my wife's good. Sometimes we don't know the whole picture until we're much further down the road. And so, you know, be ready for God to put those things in your life. I talked about how, let's turn to Mark chapter 10. You know, one thing I am so appreciative of, and I don't know if you guys see it, but everyone here is my brother and my sister, or my brother, never mind, my brother, my children. You know, for the women on the tape, my sisters. Thank you. Let's look at verse 29 here, Mark 10. It says, Jesus said to them, truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he shall receive 100 times as much. Now in this present age, houses, brothers, sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions in the age to come, eternal life. See, one thing as you work with people, you want them to become your brother, your sister, your mother, your father. 100 times as much. Can God produce what He promises? Yeah, I'm just so thankful for everyone that's here. I am. There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes 5 that says the dream comes with much effort. See, I talked about the football players, you know, It doesn't matter whether it's Pee Wee League to the professionals. There's a lot of practicing that goes involved, that's involved there, to get those kids to do what they're supposed to do. And it's tough. I mean, I actually helped coach my boys here in football, and man, to get little guys to do what they need to do, you've got to go over it and speak it and speak it and speak it. Okay, and a lot of times, I mean, you're dealing with little guys that don't even get the concept. Okay. See, and so we have to have a picture. See, I can dream anything, but how am I going to make that dream happen? See, you can dream about becoming the star quarterback of the football team, and probably a lot of you did that. And today you may not even pick up a football. See, maybe number one, you didn't want to put the work in. Or number two, you didn't have the talent. See, God puts us together, you know, as His body, right exactly where He wants us. And so we need to put together our picture for what we can do in the church and drive on that picture and accomplish what He would have us accomplish. I had a Bible study in Great Falls, living in Helena, for approximately a year with a couple and their kids. I would take my kids. Sometimes my wife would go along. You know, and I had the picture that they were going to make it. You know, and I mean, there was, I can remember one day we were coming back from Great Falls, going across the Sebin Flats. This was no day, actually, like 10 o'clock at night, but because I would do this Bible study after work. And it's just a blizzard, just a whiteout, you know. And Camille's got her head out the window, you know, trying to see. And pretty soon, the next thing I know, I can feel the car going. We're in the ditch. Well, there's the highway's on the other side, so I just gave it everything I had, and I got back to the other side of the highway. Well, guess what? Then I had to repeat. I had to go back to the next exit and come back through that again. See, it's the picture. People becoming Christians, but it takes tremendous work and effort on your part and sacrifice. You doing okay? Sacrifice on your part. See, and sometimes we're not willing to do the sacrifice. I have to admit, I have gone through some stages in my life as a Christian where, man, I'm just gung-ho. At other times, I kind of back off. And so, you know, God wants us to, you know, stay consistent and be consistent. You know, one thing that God gives us, which I really appreciate, is every day is a new day. Man, what happened yesterday, if you fell short, you know, the sun came up today, praise God, and we get to start over. See, we need to walk like that. Because Satan is saying, you couldn't do it yesterday. And he's going to drag you into that same hole, or he's going to keep you in that rut as long as he can, or for maybe even eternity. And that's where he's got the rest of the world. And so we've got to be really careful. Scripture says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. The couple that I Bible studied with, they're not Christians, but I still have hope. You know, one picture that I have, this is actually, this is a picture I guess I kind of developed in my work, and that's that I always get the sale. You know, I mean, I deal with the same customers, you know, day after day, week after week. And so, if I didn't get it today, I'm going to get the sale. You know, and having the picture, you know, I mean, there's little displays that I have. I actually will order the product a week in advance. I will order the displays and not have the okay yet from the manager or the assistant manager to get that display. But guess what? That morning, I load the display. I load the product, and I walk in there, and I figure out where it's going to go, and I go and say, this is where it's going to go. See, that's a picture. See, we've got to have that picture. We need to have that picture to really drive forward evangelism. You have to see yourself doing it. One thing that I, this is just a saying. I can't remember where I got it, but basically, Bible studies come quickly and easily. Bible studies come quickly and easily. Now, I started that probably about a year ago. No, actually, it's probably been 2 years ago. I think it was right before I moved to Butte. And sometimes God gives you one of those. There's a church building right across the street from my house, and they had closed. In fact, we actually looked into purchasing the building. They just closed up shop. They didn't have enough attendees. And anyways, I was just arriving home from work, and I kind of parked my truck across the street there, and this gal was walking up to the steps. Well, so I kind of watched her. Well, she came back, and she saw me standing there by my truck, and she said, do you know where there's a Christian church? She says, do they have church there? I said, no, they closed up. I said, but I know where there's a Christian church. And I told her, you know, what time we assemble and so on, and she was there. And after about two Bible studies, she decided she wanted to be immersed. And she decided that she wanted to be immersed on Mother's Day to honor her mother. Her mother's not a Christian. But the thing is see, sometimes God gives you one like that. You know, and maybe it's because I, in the back of my mind, was saying Bible studies come quickly and easily. See, he set it up. I didn't. You know, we have the examples of Paul and Saul of Tarsus and Ananias, and how God set that all up to where Saul then became a Christian and then later became the Apostle Paul. And so anyways, she's been doing great. This gal, her name's Cassandra. Her husband isn't really very interested. I mean, the first study, he sat in the kitchen the whole night. He was listening. He still listens every once in a while, you know. So, I mean, he's still hanging there. We talked him in. We went to camping with the Jacobs, and I got them to come up for a day. And she calls, and she says, Tom, is there anything I can bring? You know, and I didn't want her to bring anything. And I said, oh, I think we got it covered. And she's just kind of persistent. Well, I want to bring something. I said, okay, you can bring a pack of hot dogs and some hot dog buns. You know, I'm just kind of, this gal brought the party. She brought chips and she brought, and she didn't bring a pack of hot dogs. She brought a pack of hot dogs. You know, and like 20, or like, actually it was like 40 buns. And she brought drinks. And you don't see that very often. But that's the kind of character she has. She brought the whole party. She wants to be a part of something. See, there's people out there that want to be a part of Christ's church. See, and we have got to be those who lay that foundation brick by brick by brick by brick. You're going to have to set aside time on a weekly basis to do this. You're going to have to take time out of your busy schedule. It's not going to happen if you don't set that time. You know, I've had a Bible study with one fellow in Butte, and I'm free in the evenings. Well, he's a cook. And he cooks in the evenings. We've had the toughest time getting together. But see, sometimes I started thinking, you know, I'm going to have to just change my schedule. See, sometimes we got to change our schedule if we're going to really get there and really make it happen. And so we just kind of have to examine where we're at. Scripture says that I planted, Apollos watered, but God caused the growth. See, we are each individuals of Christ, but He's the one that's going to make it all happen. We simply, you know, the Scripture says that in that final day, when a man or woman is standing before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." See, that's today. That's today. That's who you are today. That's who I am. That's who I'm training my children to be. That's who you train your spiritual children to be. Good and faithful servants. See, and we have to make it fun. See, what is the appeal of Peaks? You know, Mark mentioned last night how we got to see Scott Schweitzer's video. You know, what's the reason for, you know, why are you going to Peaks? It's for the preaching, right? But you know, all this other stuff sure helps, doesn't it? Helps you to want to be here. See, we got to make it fun. It's got to be fun. How many assemblies here have a potluck, fellowship dinner, you name it? See, you got to build that camaraderie. You got to, just one step at a time, you got to bring those people in. See, are you participating in those things? And if not, can you? Would you? See, those little things matter. They need to see it. As you bring those people in, they need to be a part of something because initially, I have to be honest, when I became a Christian, I still had a large portion of fleshly mindset. You know, I remember they used to play volleyball at family camp. I mean, they still do, but this was the first family camp I went to was when they had it I don't remember where it was at, but they camped. They really camped. Anyways, I remember Matt as a young man, Matt Wilson coming up and saying, "Hey, how you doing?" You know, and I was really impressed by this young man. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know anybody. But see, those little things matter. It was Matt Wilson that did that. See, an outgoing individual. Those little things matter. See, today when we watch the Olympics and different things like that, it's by 1/100th of a second. It's by, you know, whether they pointed their toes when they went in the water or not. I mean, it's the little things, isn't it? See, and so we need to be taking a look at the little things and working on them to make them bigger things. In John chapter 15, let's go ahead and turn to John 15. We're going to close up here. We're going to start here in verse 1. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it, that it may bear more fruit." I've thought a lot about this verse 2 there. Really, I thought about the every branch that bears fruit, He prunes. My wife, my kids all bought my wife some flowers for Mother's Day, and she has them, you know, planted outside, out in front of the house. And about every evening, she goes out there and she clips off all the old blooms. Man, it's like the next day there's more blooms. You know, the Apostle Paul said that any gain in this world he counted as rubbish. You know, this has kind of been a struggle for me. Not wanting some of the things of the world. See, and I think that this is my opinion of the scripture. See, that's the things that God's going to prune off. He's going to prune off a little more of the world and help us to be a little more spiritual. You know, with John the Immerser, he said, he must increase and I must decrease. See, we got to die a little more every day. See, that's him pruning us. See, now notice that it's only those who are bearing fruit. It's only those who are bearing fruit that he's pruning. Do you want to be pruned? See, do you want to have the King of the universe work individually with you? See, we have that opportunity. Every one of us. And so God wants us to bear fruit. As it says here, and so prove to be his disciples. So prove to be his children. See, children of God, subdue this earth. Bring everything to him. And so, brethren, you know, let's do that. I mean, gosh, I remember, I don't know if it was my first peak, second peaks, but the guys were saying, bring one next year. Come on, everybody, bring one. Bring one. Bring one. See, decide now. I'll be on. I mean, this is, Dan, I got to tell you this. The reason I'm in Butte is because I made that decision up here. I've made more of my spiritual decisions at peaks than any place because of the preaching. The time to decide is now that you're going to bring one. You're going to set that time aside and you're going to make all those extra efforts, those sacrifices. You know, once you set it in place, it doesn't seem like a sacrifice. I mean, Mr. Wilson, does it seem like a sacrifice? No. You know, once you get it going, it's just, it's what you do. But initially, boy, you're going to suffer. It's going to be tough. And so, brethren, next year, bring one. Let's go out and win. Let's go out and make fruit for the Lord. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Thank you.
Let's go ahead and stand, guys. I really appreciate, you know, I asked Tom to do that message because sometimes we get off in the really high-blown stuff and it's always good to go back to those basic points and really brought that out. Who's got a comment here?
Hey, Tom, I can't not make a comment that you brought me up. But, yeah, you know, in the past 4 years, I probably bought 50 storage units. And I can tell you, you're right on. They are nothing but a pile of junk and a mess. And it takes a lot of work to turn a profit in those. It's been my experience that nobody leaves their prized possessions in the back corner of a storage unit. It's not there. And so, you know, a couple things I think you can bring out of that, which you did, I think, really well, is, yes, in order to make something profitable, takes a lot of work. But also, you know, if you do find that prized possession, you got to do what you can to hold on to it. You know, just like people in the storage, they don't leave them there. When they know when they have something good, they keep it. And we can't stop working, like you said, just because you got somebody immersed. I've watched Jay in Great Falls do so much work, make so much sacrifice, and I've got to sit down in his studies for quite a while over the years and watch him, and I know the messes he goes through, and I know the work that he does and continues, and I hear it from them how much they appreciate it, and I see the lives that are turned around. So I want to thank you for that message, and I also know it takes a lot of courage to stand in front of a group of guys like this, tell them to get to work. That's really hard to do unless you're doing the work yourself, and I appreciate what you're doing. I do.
Thanks, Brad. I mean, you know, that's what we need to do is get to work. Myself, personally, I mean, I think this message was maybe even more for me than you guys. So,
thanks, Tom. And just in way of a comment, I guess, in no way to elevate myself or anyone that has taught me, but I used to come to Peaks and sit at an assembly weekly thinking that, well, there are men that do this work, and it doesn't really necessarily need to fall on me, and you know, I need to take care of me, and the men that have been in the congregation in the church for years, they're going to go and make disciples. But over the years, coming here and fellowshipping with different brothers in the church, I learned two important things. And one is from my dear brother Steve Doty, taught me that it's not enough to try hard, but it's imperative that we believe more. Mm-hmm. And another dear brother, Kevin Simpson, taught me and many others that it's important for us and vital for us to know who Jesus was, who Jesus is, who we are in Jesus, and our purpose in Jesus. And I'll tell you what, I never really fully grasped any of those two concepts until I engaged in Bible studies. I never thought that I had what it took to do a Bible study, a one-on-one Bible study, and, you know, that's where my faith lacked, I think. But through the help of some of the brothers in Billings, I've since engaged in personal Bible studies, and that's where I turned the corner, mm-hmm. is when I looked across the table of someone that was close to me and that I cared about, and I engaged
right on.
In that process. Yep. And when you do that, you'll know who Jesus was, who Jesus is, who we are in Christ, and our purpose. And that then will give you the faith and the belief, not just to try harder, but to believe more.
Mm-hmm. Three scriptures come to mind. First, the scripture says to remove the log from your own eye so that you can see clearly to help another. The scripture also says that you who teach others do not teach yourself. Because, you know, we got to go through that change. And, you know, so, I mean, sometimes, Mike, I think you're right on. I mean, at first, you're not there. You're not ready. The other thing is that the scripture says, speaking the truth in love, we grow up in all aspects unto him. And, I mean, for me, the same. I mean, it wasn't until I actually got some Bible studies, but really I had a purpose to even dig in, you know, to some degree, to really to know the scriptures, to be able to lay the scriptures out and so on. And so it gives you purpose. I mean, it's huge. It really is. You know, and so I appreciate that comment.
Yeah, I just got a quick comment, Jay.
Well, yeah.
Should I just hand the mic back to Micah now? Okay. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate the message. I always tell the guys, and I've told the congregation Billings, if you got a problem in your life, get a Bible study. It's that simple. It'll fix it while you're fixing somebody else. And then the thing that I appreciate about your message, I heard that I've had people in Billings come up and say to me, I've been known for repeating the same thing over and over. Jay's got six messages, he says. I got one. So he's really an accomplished preacher. Someday I may have six. But in any case, I appreciate that you were talking about the little guys. You have to repeat, 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 and they don't get the concepts. Those of you that teach in the assemblies, understand those that you think would pick up these concepts that are taught over and over? Don't. So keep teaching them over and over again till they catch it. That's why Paul wrote to the Philippians. He said, to write these things again is no problem for me and a safeguard you. Paul was repeating himself a lot. So to those in the assembly that repeat, say, six messages a lot, appreciate them.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah, you know, I'm just going to comment on that. You tend to think that people are picking it up when you're picking it up.
They don't.
I have a son that's not a Christian. My oldest son is not a Christian because I thought he was catching it. And he wasn't. And so, you know, guys, we got to, man, continue to get these guys involved. I mean, that's why I really appreciate all the camps and different things to bring these kids in. But we also got to teach it. We can't think that they're getting it. You know, which, I mean, that's a great point. It really is. Over and over again.
Tom, really, thank you for your message. And one of the things you said, it was so simple, but it just really hit me hard, and I hope it hits some other folks too, is, you know, Bible studies come easy for me. That's going to become a part of my prayer life. It's going to become a part of who I am, and I think that's going to help a lot. And I just really appreciate that because I think it's something important, and I think it's going to help me. So thank you very much.
We don't learn through osmosis just by standing there and they pick it up. There has to be a deliberate and many times one-on-one interface. Mm-hmm. And I might also add that you don't really know something, you know, until you have to teach it. Mm-hmm. And teach it often. Thank you, Tom.